the ulama talking and giving rulings and giving us decisions, then what we have to do is be quiet. And what those people have to do also is that they have to be quiet. Because it doesn't make any sense for the scholars of our Islam to talk and then the other people to go on screaming and acting up and going crazy. He said that these people's only tools and utensils that they use against the scholars is that they curse them and they ridicule them and they accuse it in their niyat and their intention. As for coming with any proof, they are not able to do so, and their calls and screams are only hollow and they have no benefit. He said, in closing out this statement, he said that if these people said that al-istibdal, it means that you actually take this one thing and you put it, you replace it with another thing. He said, if they said that, then we're going to ask them. If these people were saying that whoever judges or he changes the constitution, his own constitution from the Quran and the Sunnah, if he comes and says that that one who changed that is a kafir, he said that they will say to that person, is this a real example that you have where someone has come and he has changed al-Islam in its totality for that which is in his own mind? Do you have a real live example that's mutabakan to the waqi', something that's really happening? Because if you do, then bring us, give us an example. Give us a name of a person who has done that. He said that they won't be able to do so, because we still find today, in spite of the shortcomings of the people who have changed a lot of the religion, in spite of that, these people are still practicing some of Islam. The salat is being established, the zakat is being established, the talaq is being established, the getting married is being established. He would have to say that there are many aspects of Islam, wherever you go, in spite of the shortcomings, that is still being practiced. So they'll never be able to bring you an example where someone has come fully replaced al-Islam with his own program. He went on to say, if those people said we're talking about the Aghlabiyyah, or that these people have changed the majority of al-Islam with their institution, the Shaykh went on to say, so what's the proof of this majority? How are you going to explain it to us? And he went on to say again, how are you going to explain it? How are you going to define what's the Aghlabiyyah? What are the principles that you're using to define it? He said that again, they will not be able to do so. He went on to say, in closing, Ikhwan, that whoever rules in a particular issue without, by other than what Allah has revealed, this person no doubt has committed a sin of kufr. And if the brother has done it, or the person has done it, saying that it's halal, or being abstinent, or making the takdeeb, then this person is a kafir. This person is the one who goes out. But if he does it, and there is some ignorance while he's doing it, or he's doing it to just have money, or to please the people, or to save his power, then this is not the case with this person.
فهناك إضافتان إحداهما في تقرير حق والأخرى في كشف شبهة، لأن يعلم أن القوم أصحاب شبهات يلقونها على المبتدئين والعامة وغير المتمكنين. أما تقرير الحق فمنطلقه ما استدل به عدد من أهل العلم، منهم الإمام الشاطبي رحمه الله في قوله تعالى أم لهم شركاء شرعوا لهم من الدين ما لم يأذن به الله، فقال فالمبتدعة تنطبق عليهم هذه الآية، فإنهم يشرعون في دين الله ما لم يأذن به الله تبعا لأهوائهم وآرائهم ومأساتهم. فلو كان هذا بحد ذاته كفرا لكان كل مبتدع كافرا، وهذا وحده يفقد أصل شبهتهم من أساسها، لأن هذا الحكم على مثل هذا التصور لم يقل به أحد من أهل العلم قاطبة، لا في قديم الزمان وغابره ولا في عصره وحاضره. أما كشف الشبهة فإن بعضهم يقول إن الإمام ابن كثير في تفسيره قد كفر جنكيز خان لأنه أتى بكتاب أتى فيه بقليل من اليهودية وقليل من النصرانية وقليل من الإسلام واسمه الياسق، فكفره كفرا أكبر من أجل هذا الشيء. قال والذين يحكمون بغير ما أنزل الله هكذا، فهم عندهم جزء من، لكن أيضا عندهم جزء من القانون الفرنسي أو جزء من التوراة أو جزء من الإنجيل أو جزء من ما اخترعته أهواؤهم، فإذا هؤلاء كأولئك، فبالتالي يشملهم تكفير الإمام ابن كثير كما كفر جنكيز خان صاحب الياسر. وهذه شبهة قد تنطلي على من لم يراجع المسائل، وعلى من لم يحقق الدلائل. أما من لم تبهره كل أو أي شبهة ولم تفجعه كل ريبة، فإنه يعلم أن الحق ظاهر بظهور أهله وأئمته وعلمائه ودعاته. ومن شيم أهل البدع كما قال الإمام وكيع بن الجراح، أهل البدع يقولون ما لهم ويتركون ما عليهم، وأهل الأهواء وأهل السنة يقولون الذي لهم ويقولون الذي عليهم. فهؤلاء إما لجهل وإما لظلم وإما لكيد لم يراجعوا ما قاله ابن كثير في تاريخه. فالإمام ابن كثير له كتابان عظيمان مشهوران يعرفهما الصغير والكبير والعالم والجاهل، أولهما تفسير القرآن العظيم، وثانيهما البداية والنهاية في تاريخ الإسلام. فابن كثير عندما تطرق لجنكيز خان بين السبب الذي من أجله كفره، فقد ذكر أنه كان يصعد على رؤوس الجبال ويقول إن الله يوحي إلي بما في هذا الكتاب وهو ليثق، فمن أجل هذا كفره ابن كثير. وهذا ما جهله هؤلاء القوم أو تجاهلوه، وأحلاه ما مروا. إن كنت لا تدري فتلك مصيبة، أو كنت تدري فالمصيبة أعظم.
Sheikh, again I have to reiterate, brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, that this issue that he's dealing with now in this type of setting is not going to be able to be dealt with justice. The translation is not going to be able to come across to you exactly the way that it should in terms of the details that he's going through. But it's extremely important for those people who are hearing this and who hear my voice now that they get this tape of today's talk. If you want to deal with the people who want to continuously talk about whoever doesn't judge by that which Allah revealed, for they are kuffar. He went on to say that he has two more points that he needs to make. One of those points will be for the taqreer of the haq, to support it and to clarify it, to make it even clearer, to establish it. And the other point is for the kashf of the shubahat, because these people are people who are those people who really are able to thrive because of the shubahat that even they talk about. Where they get a new Muslim or a Muslim who doesn't have a lot of information or a lot of understanding of Islam, so all he does or all they do is talk about these issues, knowing full well not only does he not understand it, but also the person who he's talking to doesn't understand, and he only is going to understand the issue halfway. He said concerning the first point is what an Imam al-Shafi'i said concerning one of the ayat of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the question, and do they have shuraka or other partners that have legislated from them in the religion that which Allah has not given them the permission to do so? The ayat is, and do these people have any shuraka or any other partners along with Allah that have legislated for them in the religion that which Allah has not given them permission to do so? He said that this, and Imam al-Shafi'i said, that this ayat is an ayat that is a clear ayat that concerns the mubtadi'ah or the people of deviance, in that it is clearly for them that they come and they create for themselves new issues in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, if we were to apply this ayat, like he said before previously, if we were to apply this ayat and the same methodology that these people use in making other people kuffar, we could also make those people kuffar who make other people kuffar. He went on to say, as for explaining the shubahat, he said that what they do is they take a statement of Ibn Kathir, in which it is said that Ibn Kathir has said that Genghis Khan is a kafir. This is a statement that has been attributed authentically to Ibn Kathir, in which he made the takfir of Genghis Khan. And the reason for that is because Genghis Khan, he had a book called Yasir, and in this book he had took from what the Jews said, what the Christians said, what the Sabians said, and even what al-Islam said, and he mixed it all together. So these people who, this is what they always talk about, takfir, takfir, kufr, kufr, whatever, doesn't judge by what Allah has revealed. They take this statement of Ibn Kathir and they say, look, Ibn Kathir has clearly pronounced takfir upon Genghis Khan, who has taken from here, from there, and there, and he made a new constitution, even though he has part of Islam. Even though there's part of Islam, because you people are saying they're still getting married, the rulers of today, they're still respecting the talaq, they're still respecting these other parts of Islam, they're saying Ibn Kathir makes takfir of Genghis Khan in spite of that. The Sheikh went on to say that these people are oppressive because all this is a shubha. And it's a shubha that only falls upon the one who doesn't follow the issues and he doesn't read in detail. Because verily the one who reads in detail and he's taking care and he's meticulous in what he's reading, he said that the haq in this issue, the truth, is very clear. And he said for that reason, the famous scholar of al-Islam, Waqir ibn Jarrah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, when describing the people of bid'ah and the people of the haq, he said, verily, the people of bid'ah, whenever they want to use something from the text that is for them in support of their point, they tell you about it and they use it. But whenever it's against them, they're quiet about it and they don't mention it. As for the people of the truth, it's not important to them. Whenever they want to talk about something, whether the truth is for or against them, they'll mention the truth. He said every young man or young person and every old person knows that Ibn Kathir had two books that are more famous than his other books. The first book being the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir. And the second book is a well-known book that's called Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, in the history of al-Islam. He said these people take the statement of Ibn Kathir from the Tafsir book, that what we mentioned. But if you were to look in this book, Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, Ibn Kathir explains the reason why he pronounced takfir upon Genghis Khan. And that is because Genghis Khan went on top of a mountain, the top of a mountain, and he said to the people, verily Allah has revealed to me what is contained in this book, Yasir. So based upon that claim, Ibn Kathir said that he was a kafir. So these people, the people always talking about the kufr of the person doesn't just by what Allah revealed, he said they choose to remain ignorant of this fact or to act as if they're ignorant of it, even though it's there. So he went on to recite some lines of poetry in which he said, it's a bad thing for you not to know something, but it's even worse than that for you not to know it and you think you know it. So he went on to say that whether he's being ignorant about this fact of what Ibn Kathir wrote in his book, whether he knows it or he's pretending not to know it, whether it's this or that, the best of the two is sour.
لا بد من كلمة أخيرة وهي أن أقول لو أن هذه المسألة التي نحن قد بحثناها وأطلنا القول فيها ورحنا وجئنا ورجعنا وعدنا. لو أن هذه المسألة كانت مسألة نظرية فقط لا يترتب عليها أمور لسكتنا عنها كما نسكت عن كثير من الغلط والخلط والزلل بل والضلال، لأنه لا يستطيع أي إنسان كان مهما كان عالما أو طالب علم أو قادرا أن يتتبع كل غلط ويرده. لكن لما كانت هذه المسألة يترتب عليها من الفساد شيء كثير كثير، كان لا بد من تتبعها وكشف عورة المختفين وراءها. ولو أردنا أن نبين وجوه الفساد المترتبة على الفتية بغير حق في هذه المسألة لطال بنا القول ولا أعدنا المحاضرة من جديد. ولكن أريد أن أذكر خصلتين بل نوعين من الفساد اللذين أو الذي ينشأ عن مثل هذه الفتية بغير علم. أما أول فساد فهو أن مثل هذه الفتاوى باطلة قد يتلقفها بعض الجهلة أو بعض الموتورين الذين لم تستقر التقوى ولم يثبت العلم في نفوسهم، فيتخذونها ذريعة ليعيثوا في بلادهم الفساد فيقتلوا العباد ويملأوا الدنيا فسادا وإفسادا وتقتيلا وتخريبا، بل بعضهم يلعب ويسرق ويزني بمثل هذه الفتاوى الظالمة الباطلة التي يسوغها لهم من لا يتقي الله. وأما الفساد الثاني المترتب على هذه المسألة فهو أن هؤلاء يتخذون من قولهم هذا حجة وذريعة يطعن فيها بعلماء الأمة، فيسفهون آراءهم ويضللونهم، بل إن بعض الأوغاد يكفر أئمة المسلمين بمثل هذا الكلام الذي والله لا يحسن فهمه فضلا عن أن يحسن تقريره والتنظير به وإرشاد الناس إليه، فيقولون هذا العالم من أذيال السلطان وهذا العالم لا يفقه الواقع وهذا العالم لو سئل عن كذا لقال كذا، إلى آخر كلام لا يفهم منه سامعوه علما ولا يأخذون منه فهما إلا أن تمتلئ قلوبهم حقدا وحلقا وغيظا واستهزاء وتحقيرا لأمة أهل العلم. فإذا راح أهل العلم وذهبت من القلوب هيبتهم فلمن الكلمة تبقى؟ اسمعوا ماذا يقول رسولكم عليه الصلاة والسلام في الصحيحين عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ولكن يقبضه بموت العلماء. هؤلاء الجهلة عندما ينفرون الناس عن علمائهم فكأنما يميتونهم وهم أحياء. إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ولكن يقبضه بموت العلماء، حتى إذا لم يبق عالم اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا، وفي لفظ رؤساء جهالا. هؤلاء هم يطعن بأهل العلم، يطعنون بأهل العلم ويحقرونهم ويسفهونهم ويضحكون الناس عليهم ويخترعون النكت من أجل إفشاء غيظ نفوسهم فيهم، ولجعل كراسية لهم بين الناس وهم جهلة، فهم الرؤساء الجهلة. وهذا يقول أنا رئيس، والثاني يقول أنا أمير، والثالث يقول أنا زعيم، والرابع بقي أن يقول أنا خليفة المسلمين. فلئن قالها فإنها نهاية العالم، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. حتى إذا لم يبق عالم اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فاستفتوهم فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا. فأي ضلال أكبر وأي إضلال أعظم من التقول على الله والتقول على علماء الإسلام والإفساد المستشري بين عباد الله نتيجة قول يقوله من لا يدري فيفسد به ما الله به عليم. وهنا نكتفي ولا نزيد على ذلك.
The Sheikh went on to explain another very important point, an extremely important point, and that is, he said that had this issue of pronouncing takfir on the rulers, as the question has come from the floor, had it been a question that was just a question that was nabari or theoretical, nothing was going to come as a result of it, it was just a question that, you know, is posed and it's not going to really be dealt with in any way, he said really he would have just left the issue, because there's not going to be any benefit from it, because it's only in theory. He said, but in fact, because of the fact that this issue, when people misunderstand it and go about it the wrong way, there's a lot of fatad or evil that comes as a result of it. So therefore it becomes incumbent upon him to expose the people who partake in such a mischievous thing, and to expose and to make clear for those people who are listening what the truth is concerning the matter. He said towards those ends he had two very important points that he wants to make to show that whenever the people deal with this type of issue, always worrying about the takfir of the people who are ruling the Muslims and so forth and so on, and the takfir of people in general, he said that this has two evil effects, and he's going to talk about them very briefly, about these two evil effects that we've seen with our own eyes, that we have not ceased to see, to observe from these people. He said the first one is that this fatwa, when the people who make this ruling that so and so is a kafir because of this or because of that, he doesn't judge by what Allah has revealed, this fatwa more times than not is taken by the people who are ignorant. You don't find around those people other students of knowledge taking that information and taking that fatwa. He went on to say because of this, and because of their ignorance and that they have no knowledge, the people who take and hear this fatwa, they begin to kill people as a result of it, and they begin to stray away from the right course. And in some instances, and wallahi this is true, in some instances because of this fatwa they even begin to make zina under the guise of this fatwa. They begin to make zina and they begin to steal, as we've seen with our own eyes, saying that you can rob banks and on and on and on. He said that's the first point. That's the first point of the facade that comes as a result of this fatwa, that these rulers are kuffar or you're kafir, you don't judge by what Allah revealed. The second evil that comes as a result of this is that the people who use this as an argument, they always use this point to talk bad about the ulama of al-Islam, the scholars of al-Islam. And the Shaykh went on to describe these people and he called them al-Ghab, which is those people who are way, 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 way astray, and just, they are filled with evil. He said that these people, what they do is, they start to talk about this issue and they start to accuse the scholars of things that they have no way of coming to know. For an example, they start to say that the scholar so-and-so is one of the people who supports this governor or this government, or that he doesn't understand the situation, the waqi'. Or that if you were to ask this scholar a particular question about a particular issue,
he wouldn't know how to answer. And if he did answer, he would only answer with a particular issue that's well known, a particular answer that's well known, and it's wrong. He said that if the scholars are not respected, then what is expected from this ummah in terms of the good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward it with? So for that reason, he wanted to explain to you brothers a hadith that's been collected in Sahih Bukhari as well as Sahih Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Aaf radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Allah is not going to take the knowledge away from the people by just snatching it out of the breast, out of the chest of men, but he would take the knowledge by causing the scholars to die, and to the point that there remains no scholars, and then as a result of that, the people will start to seek fatwas and Islamic rulers from the ignorant people. So they would take these ignorant people as leaders and people to be followed. So those ignorant people will go astray, and they will also lead astray the people who are asking them for these fatwas. He went on to say that when we look at this hadith here, Allah's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that Allah will take the knowledge away by causing the scholars to die. And in actuality, these people have scholars in their presence. They aren't even dead yet. But because they turn away from them, and because they talk about them the way they talk about them, look at them the way they look at them, it is as if even though they're living, they're dead, because the knowledge is being taken away from the people while the scholars are living because of the methodology of these people. He went on to say that these people lie on the scholars and they mislead the people concerning these scholars. And what happens is we find them in their different groups, and there are many, and they are found in every place, in many places. You have one leader in one place saying that he's the Ra'is, he's the leader. And then you have another one saying in another place that he's the Za'im, he's the one in charge. And then you have another one in another place saying that he's the Amir. He said there's nothing left until almost we're going to find that they're going to begin to say that they're the Khalifa of the Muslim. So the Sheikh went on to say that this is the result of this fatwa. And he warns the brothers as well as the sisters to be careful of the evil. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you brothers and sisters.
أن يستلزموا من كفر الحاكم كفر الدولة، ومن كفر الدولة أنها دار كفر، ومن دار الكفر دار حرب، ودار الحرب يجب فيها الزنا والزنا، هذه سلسلة من الضلال، بعضها أخذ برقاب بعض. نعم الله العافية. كل الفتن اللي في بلاد المسلمين الآن ابحث تجدها من هذه الفتنة،
لأن هذا باسم الدين.
باسم الدين هي المشكلة، وإلا الفساق ما هي مشكلة، فساق لا أحد يقول، لا أحد يشك الفساق أنه فساق. أعرف
I'm going to go to the hospital.